Hear and believe the good news that Almighty God has promised full forgiveness to all who come to him with true repentance and faith in his Son. Amen. In joy and in trouble, help us, gracious God, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. Amen. The Bible readings today, the first reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 6. Apostle Paul, second letter to the Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 6. Apostle Paul says, "Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother or sister living irresponsibly and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not irresponsible when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But we toil and labor, we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have the right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living irresponsibly, merely busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons will command and exhort in the Lord, and now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The Psalter is Psalm 146. It's on page 868. Praise God, O my soul. As long as I live, I will praise God. Yes, as long as I have life, I will sing praises to God. Put not your trust in princes, nor in any mortal, for in them there is no help. When they breathe their last, they return to dust. Then their plans come to nothing. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Maker of heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. The one who keeps faith forever, who gives justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Give your praise to God, O my soul. God sets prisoners free, restores sight to the blind, but saves those who are bent, loves those who are just. God cares for the stranger in the land and sustains the widow and orphan. But the way of the wicked gods turn to ruin. God shall reign forever, O Zion, your God for all generations. Give you praise to God, O my soul. The gospel reading is from Gospel of Luke chapter 21 from verse 5. Luke 21, 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, Jesus, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another and will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Rock, O Lord, O Redeemer. Amen. The Bible passage I just read to you is one of the two major discourses in the Gospel. In the Gospel in each of the Gospels, we have two major bodies of teaching from Jesus. One, there is one which everybody knows, and the other one, I'm not saying nobody knows, but it's a very unpopular one. The one discourse everybody knows is called Sermon on the Mount. Remember that? Good. Sermon on the Mount. That is the one everybody remembers. This is the other one. This is called the Olivet Discourse. A couple of days before Jesus was executed, he was on the Mount of Olives, and he and his disciples were looking at the temple, and the disciples came to Jesus saying, this is a wonderful building, don't you think? And Jesus says, yes, it's a wonderful building, but quite soon this building will be destroyed. And that will be a new chapter in the life of humanity, in the life of the church, in the life of the disciples, in the life of the Jewish people. That will be a new chapter. And of course, this is a theme which is very similar to the first Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday of Advent is the Advent of the Sunday of hope. Yes, good. The Sunday of hope. And hope is always pointing to the future. Hope is not about your past. Hope is not about your present time. Hope is always about the future. So whenever we have Hope Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, Hope Sunday, it's always about the future. And what is the future? The second coming of Jesus Christ. And whenever we have this whole challenge, we have usually the readings from the Olivet Discourse, the second big chunk of teaching coming from Jesus. It is a challenge. It is a challenge. And it's very interesting because the first reading we had is Apostle Paul is telling people to live responsively and not irresponsibly. And the interesting thing that in this passage we are not told what is irresponsible living? There is a special, it's not just don't live irresponsibly, you know, and define what irresponsible to you the way you want. This is not about that. There is a particular situation in that church, in that congregation, and actually in that region. There were Christian people who were expecting Jesus to come back. And they stopped working. And they said, I don't have to do anything because maybe by the end of the next week, Jesus is back. So, and that behavior Paul calls irresponsible. And he says, don't do that. Don't do that. Stop begging in the name of Jesus if you have strength and if you have an ability to work. Work for your own bread. So this was what Paul is criticizing as irresponsible living. So if you look at the church, in the church we can make two mistakes. And both of them are kind of irresponsible. One is to talk about the, too much about the second coming of Christ, or trying to figure out what sign is meaning what. Trying to figure out the day. This was the big temptation of the church, to figure out the date when Jesus is coming back. And we know Jesus said, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. Time. Yeah, you don't know, do you not know the time? So stop investigating. Stop investigating. That's not the point. This is one mistake. To figure out something we cannot know. We're not supposed to know. The other mistake we can make is to live a life without the conviction of the second coming of Jesus. It's a psychological issue that we must have hope. It's a psychological statement that we cannot live without hope. We cannot live without hope. And it's an interesting and it's a form of self-reflection when we ask ourselves, where is my hope? Where is my hope? It's easy to say that I hope things will be better next year, or things will be better the year after, and the economy of the country is going to improve. But this is the time, and this is the Bible passage which is kind of encouraging us to ask ourselves deeper questions. What is our real hope? And when we look at our hopes and dreams, our dreams about the future, it doesn't matter how long or short it is God included in that in picture? Is God included in that image? When we had a couple of weeks ago, I put the new creed, of the United Church of Canada in the back of our bulletins as a kind of a, now we have the basis of union. A couple of weeks ago we had the new creed. And in the new creed we have the statement that we are called to be the church to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. Jesus Christ as judge is pointing to the future. Jesus Christ as hope is pointing to the future. So even in our own new creed, we are challenged to see Jesus Christ as our future. So the other thing, which is the main issue which we have here mentioned, being mentioned, is the destruction of the temple. And time after time, when this issue comes up, and it comes up every year, because every year we have Advent, right? Every year we have first Sunday of Advent, right? And every first Sunday of Advent is about hope, and that is always Olivet Discourse, and Olivet Discourse includes always the destruction of the temple. The interesting thing is what we know about the destruction of the temple is not in the Bible. It's in the history books. Here it is a year of 30th something, AD 33, 34, 35, we don't exactly know. What we know that in AD 70, less than 40 years later, the temple got destroyed. And how do we know that? From history. And the temple, the Jerusalem temple, hasn't been rebuilt yet. The Bible says, the prophecy says, there's one prophecy says the temple will be destroyed. And people said, oh, we can't believe that. And Jesus uses a term everybody thought it was a poetic exaggeration, that no stone will be left unturned. And even in our common language, in the English language and in the Hungarian language too, we have the phrase, do something best to your abilities. Leave no stone unturned. And people think, oh, it's a kind of a poetic exaggeration. But what we know from history, not from the Bible, what we know from history, that accidentally a Roman soldier set the temple on fire. And as a fire broke out, it melted the ornaments on the top of the building. And in that fire, the golden ornaments melted, and the molten gold ran into the cracks of the stones. And the soldiers had a small amount of, for the Roman army, soldier had a small amount of salary they got regularly. But they had the right to loot. So looting was part of the salary. And nobody was allowed to stop a soldier from looting. So, and as this practice and as their right, so to speak, to loot, they started to scrape off the gold from between the stones. And to get the maximum amount of gold, they had to turn all the stones upside down. So when Jesus is saying, no stone will be left unturned, is a very tragic and very literal prophecy about the end of the Jerusalem temple. Why is it difficult and why is it a new chapter for the life of the world? And this is a difficult part, because we cannot really imagine what the temple meant to the Jewish people. Because the temple was not like a church. Jewish people were not allowed to have this sacrificial system anywhere else, only in the temple. When the temple got destroyed, the sacrifices stopped. They stopped in 70 AD, and ever since, no sacrifice was performed as it is described for them in the Bible. So the sacrifices had to stop. And if I want to find a comparison for our lives, for what is our sacrifice? What is the sacrifice in the Christian church? The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is our way of remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. This Lord's Supper is the tangible presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is how we remember his sacrifice. And imagine somebody would say, you can only have a Lord's Supper in one building. You are not allowed to have a Lord's Supper only in this building, and that building got destroyed. And they say, you cannot have a Lord's Supper anywhere else. So this is a very important practical side. The other side is an identity. Because for the Jewish people, the temple was the center of the world. Theologically, I know it was a very common, when we had Bible study, it came up very often that the church was teaching that the center of the universe is the planet Earth. And it is wrong. Because it's not the center of the universe. Earth is not the center of the universe. And how bad and how horrible and how retrograde was of the church to preach that the Earth is the center of the universe. And of course, if you look at it scientifically, it's true. The Earth is not the center of the universe. But if you look at it theologically, and we must have the ability to think theologically, if we think it's theologically, the Earth is the center of the universe. Why? Because the cross of Jesus. The cross is the center of the universe, theologically, at least. So for the Jewish people, Jerusalem was the center of the planet, and the center of the center was the temple. And this was their identity. This was their identity. And it represented something even more important than only identity. The temple represented the presence of God. The presence of God. No temple means no presence of God. No, the temple represents the presence of God. No temple, no presence. And when Jesus talked about, I will come back to you, this is not only representing just the return of Jesus as it is promised, it is representing the presence of God with us once again. Not only for the Christians, but for the Jews too. So, in many ways, if you want to look at the temple from a cosmic point of view, the temple meant to be a place where heaven and earth touched. Temple was the place where heaven and earth touched. But if you look at the whole picture, we try to look at the big picture and try to struggle with the message. The reason why the Olivet Discourse is not so popular in the church, it's not just the fact that whenever the Bible teaches us about the future, we feel anxious because the Bible doesn't say anything good about the future. The Bible is talking about persecution, harsh times, wars, rumors of wars, famines, plagues, and we don't like that, do we? But what is the bottom line? And this is a very important bottom line, is the statement of Jesus, the teaching behind the words, that don't lose heart because God is in control. And that is always a challenge. When we have a beautiful summer day and everything feels perfect. Everything feels perfect. And you have a nice cocktail glass with something bubbly, and you are under a nice umbrella, and it is summer, and everything is green, and everything is cheerful, and everything is happy. It's easy to say, oh, God is good, and God is in control. But when everything else, whatever you look, wherever you look, is creating anxiety and fear in your heart, it doesn't mean God is not in control. God is still in control. And Jesus says that we need to get strength out of the fact that God is in control. So, this whole message is also talks about two things. One is our expectations. Because if you let's imagine you have a conviction that Jesus will never ever come back. It's just a legend. If you have this conviction that Jesus will never come back, your expectations are changed. But if you have the conviction that Jesus is coming back, you have different expectations. And Jesus says that we Christians, we the followers of Jesus, are not really allowed to live a life without that kind of hope that Jesus will return. So it teaches us about expectations, a kind of a soul search. What are our hopes? What are our expectations? Do I believe that God is in control? Does it give me strength to know that things don't look good, but I know God is in control? Does it give you strength? Does it give me strength to know God is in control? So, whenever it is about the future, we have questions mostly. But what the intention of the authors who wrote these gospel stories, and intention of Jesus Christ, is to give us the conviction that God is in control, and that can give us strength. And God wants to give us strength, and the deep conviction that the return of Jesus is sure, and He is in control. I said all this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.